Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In the name of God who creates us, redeems us, and inspires us. Amen. People from ancient times have looked at the stars, noticing patterns and charting their journeys and looking for signs. The early books of the Bible tell of the significance of stars in the life of ancient people. Job mentions constellations by name. God promises Abram that he will have children as numerous as the stars. Stars sing and shout together. And God names and numbers the stars. And I, too, love looking at stars. It's one of my favorite things, and especially when I'm far away from the city lights. And years ago, we took our kids every year to family camp at an Episcopal camp in southern Indiana that was far away from the cities. And it was in August of every year, and I loved looking at those stars. They were so clear, and you could see the Milky Way, and I would put my kids to bed and sit on the steps of the cabin and look at the stars, because every August, there was this wonderful meteor shower. And sure enough, I waited and watched carefully, and I always would catch just a glimpse of those lovely stars moving across the deep space of the cosmos. And I love it when I go out west to Arizona and see that big sky out there, because you can see every star individually. And the stars in the vastness of space remind me of God our Creator and of the love that moves the stars, as the poet Dante put it. The stars remind me that God is continually making things new and continually shining light into the darkness. And I can't help but remember whenever I look at the stars that it was a star that rose and moved and then stood still over a tiny child in a small house in the backwater town of Bethlehem in Judea. And perhaps even some of the stars that shone over Bethlehem that day long ago, that night long ago, still shine on us today. And so that certain star attracted another group long, long ago to Bethlehem. And today we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany. Epiphany means a revealing. And we hear the well-known story of the Magi who follow a star and visit the baby Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I love this story of the Magi on the season that begins the season of Epiphany. And I love hearing about the Magi, the men from the East, and I can relate to their stargazing. Most likely, these Magi came from Persia and were part of a pagan religion. They were a sort of scientist, scholar, astrologer, a sage. They were wise and devout men, and they studied the stars and they paid attention to dreams. They were students of the stars who looked for signs of God's plans and events in the world. They tried to connect the important things that happened on earth with the heavens and what happened in the heavens with what happened on earth. The Magi had seen a certain special star at its rising and had connected it somehow with an important birth, the birth of the King of the Jews. They didn't really have the benefit of scripture or prophecy or the promises of God for a Messiah. They were Gentiles or pagans. So how could they have known? They had the star. They had to know. And they just knew somehow that something extraordinary had happened. A new king had been born. And they just knew they had to come to find the child and to worship him and to bring gifts fit for a king. So they dropped everything they were doing and prepared for a really long journey, most likely 1,200 miles, which would have taken at least 60 days of hard camel riding and camping along the way. And they had to bring everything with them, including the special gifts. Now, we often see the Magi present at the stable. How many of us have stables and nativity sets and have the wise men and the kings, the wise men, kings, and their camels, right? But they weren't really present at the stable. They came later, maybe even a year later, and the Holy Family was living in a house by that time. And think about their arduous journey. A journey of faith, that they would travel such a long distance and actually find the child. It could have been like finding the proverbial needle in a haystack, except for the star. They had the star, and it pointed the way and beckoned them to follow it. They somehow made a stop in Jerusalem at the palace of King Herod, which was actually 9 miles away from Bethlehem, and wanted to know where the child was. And since they had seen a special star that foretold the arrival of the King of the Jews, they figured they could get some information from King Herod and his court advisors, who surely had heard about it. And they consulted with people who would have known about Scripture and what it said about a Messiah. But amazingly, King Herod knew nothing about the birth of any new king. And the Magi didn't know how threatened King Herod was when he heard the news about the birth of a competing king. And they didn't know that King Herod was going to use them for his own destructive purposes. He sent them out under the pretext of finding the child so he could also worship him. But in fact, he wanted to know where he was so he could destroy the king. And so the star appeared, and then stopped right over the house where Jesus was. That's awesome, because at last their long and hopeful search was done. They have come far from distant lands in search of the newborn king, and they find him. They parked their camels outside and took off their turbans and came into the house. They came into the humble home of Mary and Joseph, and they bowed down in utter joy. And they worshiped Jesus, the newborn King of the Jews, and offered him costly gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts that were fit for a king. Their stargazing had led them to Bethlehem and to the new king of whom they had seen those signs. And after that, the story abruptly ends. They were warned in a dream, "Do not go back to Herod." And so they went home by a different way, and we don't hear about them again. So this is kind of a strange story in here today, but it's familiar, and it's warm and fuzzy to us at this season. And didn't you just love singing We Three Kings today? I mean, I may be really goofy, but I love that. I think there are some things to notice about this story today. It's unique to the Gospel of Matthew, and Matthew puts it right after this long genealogy of Jesus' lineage, and then right after the birth story. And the Magi refer to Jesus as the King of the Jews, and the other time Matthew uses those words in the Gospel is when Jesus is crucified as King of the Jews. It begins and ends the story. And the star appears upon the birth of Christ as the light of the world. And the light reappears on the night of the vigil at Easter, the first fire. The Magi dropped everything to follow the star, and later in the story, the disciples drop everything to follow Jesus. So Matthew, by having the outsider pagans, the Magi from the East, come and visit, gives us a snapshot of the great drama that's coming. That the light of Christ will shine even beyond the bounds of Judea into the whole world. And what a holy mystery it is that those who are regarded as outsiders are led by a star to Jesus and his good news of salvation. And in a way, the Magi stand for all nations. That includes us, who would come and worship Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. Someone once said that to look into the face of a newborn is to see the face of God. And the Magi did just that. And I love the Celtic perspective that the earth glowed to the Christ child at his birth. All of the stars of creation, all of the planets and the suns, all shining together and pointing the way to Jesus. The first actual glimpse of the Messiah then, the fulfillment of God's promises, comes not from reading scripture, comes not from the priests of the temple, but from these Magi, the Gentile students of the stars, the ones willing to drop everything and embark on a star-struck journey to search for the newborn king. Maybe not so surprising, really, because the Gospels are full of unlikely characters who know who Jesus really is, even before those closest to him figure it out. So if the Christ child has been born, the promise of the Messiah, and Jesus is born every year again and again into our lives, why aren't things perfect? And I don't have an answer, but perhaps we live in the tension of the now, the present, and the not quite yet, as William Gafkin put about this story. Jesus has come into the world and the light has come, and we proclaim God's love and healing and mercy and forgiveness and grace each and every week. And we're reminded of this every time we have baptism or we hear the word of God or in the bread and the wine, the prayers and the music, and in our faith community with its support and strength. Because this is the Christ born now, here in the present. But we also proclaim that Christ will come again. And as we wait for the full healing of creation, for things to be right again, we find that we wait in the realities of the not yet of it each and every day, especially when we still see divisions among people and resources that are lacking and held back and violence and relationships that are broken and serious illness and loss. And our darkness is different for each one of us. But we remember that the light has come. It's here now, and it's still on its way, whether we can see it or follow it or not. And perhaps the Magi help us live within this tension of now and not yet. They think the King of the Jews has arrived. They can't find him right away. They see the star, but sometimes they might have lost sight of it. They ask others for directions, but they keep on following the star and the light of it that they do see. And eventually they find the one who is the light of the world. So we too are invited to join our favorite stargazers on this journey to get close to Jesus. And we too are invited into the hopeful search of the Magi to be students of the stars. This pinpoint of light shining in a vast dark sky spreads over the entire cosmos when God comes among us as a baby. And we're invited to look for the light and to share this light with all others who cross our paths. One of the gifts of this Epiphany story is that it comes as we begin this new year of 2019. And the new year is always full of shining and revealing possibilities, whether we're gazing at stars and following them, searching for something, or on a journey without knowing a clear path. Because at the end of it, and even along the way, we may surely be able to find Emmanuel, God with us. Where will we look for light in this new year? What hopeful searches will we embark upon. We may find God's amazing grace in the most unlikely places, and our companions may be mysterious stargazers. A multitude of camels may cover us. We may find ourselves offering and receiving strange gifts. But we will bow down and lay it all at the feet of the one who is the light of the world. The radiant star that shines upon Bethlehem is a sign of the light that will shine upon all of us. And this is the star that will never burn out. Amen.